As I explained to you previously, the solution to our problem for the last year I've been explaining lies in a formula, three-point formula. One is Aqidatu Sayyiah, that we have correct, valid beliefs as expounded and elucidated by the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. Second, Amal As-Salihah, good actions, righteous actions, which are sanctioned by the Sharia. And thirdly, Jihad fi Sabilillah li ilahi Kalimatullah. Jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to uplift the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerning righteous actions which are approved by Sharia, inshallah, there were two more discussions, then we'll speak of Jihad. And it is essential for us as Muslims, especially in this country, to speak about Jihad privately, to speak about Jihad publicly, to speak right about Jihad in all our discussions. Be careful, sooner or later there is a bill that is going through Parliament, and most of our Muslim parliamentarians are sleeping at the moment. That bill, which is called the Anti-Terrorism Bill, when that is enforced, then if your Imam speaks about Jihad from the platform, then come after Juma, he will be arrested, and he will be in this country. Respected elders, so it is your responsibility from now, from today, to find out what is this Anti-Terrorism Bill. Start mobilizing behind the ulama, and you yourself can do something against this bill. Otherwise, a major integral part of Islam, that is Jihad, is going to be suppressed viciously from governmental level to please the Americans and to suppress the idea and concept of Jihad. Do not say we did not warn you. Respected elders, alhamdulillah, when we look at Hajj and we look at the actions of Hajj and we look at the activities of Hajj, clear message of Tawheed comes out in everything. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, avoiding disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and transgression. A simple Haji, whether he understands why, or he understands the reason, or he understands the rationale, he will perform the tawaf. He will make the istilam. He will go between Safa and Marwa to complete his umrah. And then on the days of Hajj, he will go from Makkah to Mina, from Mina to Arafat, from Arafat to Muzdalifah, and pick up the tables and make the Maghrib and Isha together. Then come to Mina and make Ramya Jamarat. After that, they make Dhamma Shukr and make Halak, make Tawaf and Ziyara, and come back to Mina, and the remaining days sell the Shaitan. He may not understand what he is doing, why he is doing it. But the bottom line is that he is obeying the law of Allah. He is being an obedient servant to Allah. And in love for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is doing it. Love for the Nabi, because the Nabi of Allah did it, he is doing it. And these actions are specialities for that area. Because when we talk of Sunnah, the antithesis of Sunnah, as I've explained to you, is innovation, is bid'ah, that we should abstain from, stay away from. Kullu bid'atin dhalala. Every Friday you'll hear it, the Imam will read. That every bid'ah is misleading. Kullu dhalalatin fil nar. Every misleading activity in Islam, which is pushed into Islam, thinking that it is part of Islam, is in the fire of hell. And the fire of hell is not something to be pleased about. Respected elders, you may feel that perhaps Mufti Elias has been hard against innovation, or he's been vicious from the platform against bidat and innovation. Respected elders, if we have to translate that second khutbah that you have been listening to for the last 30, 40 years, then you will realize I'm mild. You will say I'm very mild. Because though that second khutbah is talking about innovation and innovations into deed, and how innovations lead to hellfire, and how innovations lead to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make tawaf of Kaaba. It's a speciality of Kaaba. There's no other structure in Islam we make tawaf of. Tawaf is only for the Kaaba, for the house of Allah, for the Baytullah, which is in Makkah. Tawaf is only for that. To such an extent that now around the grave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not allow you that you cannot go around the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tawaf of anything besides the Kaaba, respected elders, by way of ibadah, is haram, is prohibited, is near shirk. Tawaf of a statue, tawaf of an idol, tawaf of a photograph, tawaf of a grave, all those things are not permitted in Islam. Then what is the speciality of the Kaaba? Then if a person says, no, I can make tawaf of an idol, or I can make tawaf of the grave, then what is the remains of the Kaaba? The speciality of the Kaaba goes away. Istilam of the Hajar-e Aswad, kissing the Hajar-e Aswad by way of ibadah, speciality of Hajar-e Aswad. Even kissing the grave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is haram, is not permitted, is an innovation, is tantamount or goes close to shirk. Why? Because this action has been specified, is restricted, Islam is restricted to the Hajar-e Aswad, and Islam is by way of sign restricted to the Rukn-e Yamani. So a person cannot say, no, we can make Islam of the Hajar-e Aswad, kiss the Hajar-e Aswad, therefore now we can also kiss the grave, kiss the idol. Respected elders, it's horrific to find that people have got photographs in their home of their peer, of their chef, of their mashayikh, of their elders, and before going to work they bow to them. Muslims, we are talking about Muslims, they bow to them, they kiss them, they light lamps around them. These are Hinduistic cultures. And Islam has come to take us away from shirk and bring us to tawheed. Islam has come to take us away from custom and ritual and bring us into Islam, which is pure, which is clean, which is free from shirk, which is free from kufr, which is free from innovation. There are people in localities, respected elders, and some of these things I have seen. I can tell you, I've seen this in my childhood days. That they have run around the graves. Let alone men, women run around the graves. That they put covering over the graves. That's an innovation. Then at the time they have a festival to change the cover of the grave. And in that festival, oh, there is absolute shirk taking place. They pour water over the grave. Then they put turmeric powder over the grave. Then they make some sort of a paste, oil, water, turmeric powder, and masala, and plaster the grave. This is Islam, or this is Hinduism. Then they take the paste and plaster themselves, and give some to the ladies who are standing at the gate of the grave, they plaster themselves. All this is the way of Islam. Respected elders, someone has to say this. And I am the one saying this clearly, that this is not Islam. Definitely. just as we have said prior to Hajj clearly, and now I see I'm addressing you after 2 months, which I said before I went, that to properly engage in the masjid and to make zikr allowed in the masjid, loudly zikr in the masjid, is an innovation, and I'm still waiting for that hadith to prove that that is part of deen. I'm still waiting for it. I've worked for Hajj and I've come back. And for the last 4 years I'm saying it, and I'm still saying it, that to stay in the masjid, to gather in the masjid, to make zikr, whether it is loudly or softly, is an innovation, irrespective of who is doing it. What has to be done to our deen? Make it simple. Now we've got another fever, another fervor. Respected elders, parties. All sorts of parties going on. From birthday party to circumcision party to bridal party, all these things, somewhere along the line, they are not Islamic. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala buried him. Then came Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Mawiya radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Hajjatul Wida, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for his farewell pilgrimage, last pilgrimage, only one Hajj made. 124,000 Sahaba were there. Some narrations 130, some narrations 140. Respected elders, this deen is very easy. Out of that 124,000 Sahaba, who celebrated the birthday of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who celebrated? Have you got any record? Any record? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You think Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu never knew when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away? But did he celebrate the birthday of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. Did other Sahaba celebrate his birthday? Yes, because clear that when it was the birthday of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he should look at his garments and he should cry and weep and he should say that I have alive for so long. How many things we have done which are contravening the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be regretful of that. Allah ta'ala is unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all powerful. Allah is first. Then come the Anbiya alayhi salam, the prophets of Allah. And amongst the Anbiya alayhi salam come first Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the Anbiya alayhi salam come the Sahaba ikram, the companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the Sahaba come first Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Umar radiallahu ta'ala next, Usman radiallahu ta'ala, then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. It is the rule of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the highest of saints cannot equal in spiritual status the lowest of Sahaba. Because Sahaba is the one who saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then what is the difference? Now if we have to start celebrating birthdays of all pious people, then the 124,000 minimum Sahaba, 124 Anbiya alayhi wa sallam who hired the Sahaba, that every day someone must have died. Every day some pious, righteous personality must have died. So every day is holiday because we celebrate birthday. Do you understand? It's simple, this deen. Then nowadays we got birthday parties. And what we do? We send our children to these birthday parties. Or 2 years of birthday. What harm, Molana? What harm, Sisab? Have birthday party in our house. What is wrong with that? Children getting together. They're having some fun. What is wrong with you people are narrow-minded? Have they had some fun in our life? 3 year old, what are they going to do? What 3 year old are going to do? Who's going to fund it? And then when I have for my birthday party, I would spend 1,000 rand. And when the other child has it, you spend 2,000 rand. Who's the funding? Then they'll have 21-year-old birthday party. Music, dancing, photography, intermingling of sexes, going into debt, wearing fashionable clothing. People are dying, Palestinians are dying. There are masjids to be built. We are wasting our money in these things. And then you and all of us who say, no, this is permissible. Very good. Muhabbat, love, all these things happening. Then, hey, you have birthday party, after that you have circumcision party. The things that are supposed to be hidden away, supposed to be of shyness, modesty, have big party for circumcision. Then Western bridal parties now, imitating the stuff in this West, who are hell-bent on attacking Iraq, and they will kill our children in Iraq. As they are killing and massacring our children in Palestine, the same rascals that we want to follow, and we have bridal parties. And how many thousands of rats go into bridal parties? Listen, carefully, and we are supporters of this. Secretly we fund it. And we encourage it. And we encourage it how we attend it. We send our wives to those things. And what goes on there? That some evil Muslims now go off. What they do? This is the height of immorality that is going on in our country. In the name of bridal party, women get together and they have male strippers perform before them. This is happening in our country. You think the ulama are sleeping? We don't know what is happening in our country. This is our country. And you have males get together and females sleeping. And it's disgusting, I have to say you these things in Juma. So that you know, because everybody what you feel in South Africa, oh, we're very pious in South Africa, very righteous here. Why every second corner you get one peer coming up, and every second corner one khalifa is coming up, and every second corner everybody thinks he's pious. Respected elders, our actions stink to such an extent that it is surprising that the azab of Allah is not on us at the moment. What we are saying? Three things. Correct action. Correct belief. Correct action. The action must be approved, sanctioned by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we do it. Sahib of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the Amir al-Mu'mineen stationed in Madinatul Munawara. Extension of Islam is growing. People are becoming Muslims. Muslim empire is expanding. Syria, Iraq, Egypt, everywhere it's moving. In his time, information comes that the people of Syria and Egypt, there is no food there. People are going to reach starvation levels. People are soon going to die. People are soon going to have famine there. There may be epidemics spreading there. There are going to be starvation there. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who comes to Makkatul Mukarrama. There are three wells in the Haram. One is Zamzam. One is Dir-e Dawood under the basement by Misfalah section of the Haram. And the third well is, there is a well inside the Kaaba. The tribe of Jur'um, which we have studied some of our tapes, get it? The tribe of Jur'um, when they left, they put all the valuables, the gold, the silver, the gems, the pearls, everything, they put it inside the Kaaba, they dig a well there. They put it inside and covered it, went to it. Still there today. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala knew about it. His companions advised him, take out the jewels, take out the valuables, barter it for food, the nation is going to die, the nation is going to starve. Take the wealth out and barter it for food. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who sits outside the Kaaba with his ministers everybody is ready now. With the equipment to dig the well and take out the jewels, take out the pearls, take out the diamonds, take out the gold. It is said, the door of the Kaaba is open. The proceeding is about to take place. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, no, don't do it. Say, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you came from Medina. Everything is ready. People are ready, workers are ready, everybody is ready to dig it up. We can use this wealth, the treasure, to get food. Our nation is going to starve. Say, no. See now what he says. Hear what he says. This is what I want to drive. He says, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew this well existed. He knew this treasure existed. And during his time, there were worse situations. There was more need for this wealth, for food. But the Nabi of Allah did not take this wealth out and to get food. Who is Umar to do it? The Nabi of Allah did not do it. Why must Umar do it? Today we do every other action that we think I have fired. Whether it is proven in Islam or not, do it. Why do it? Oh, my peer sahab said he do it. My sheikh said do it. My peer from India did it. I must do it. My peer from so and so country said do it. Do it. Follow the biggest of peers, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected elders. Do what he did. We will be successful. And then Umar writes a letter. Writes a letter to those areas where there is going to be fear of starvation and poverty, fear of famine and epidemic. He writes a letter that by Allah, the help of Allah will come and you will see that the first caravan of food reaching you. And when you see the first caravan of food reaching you, know fully well the last caravan is in Medina. Meaning when the first caravan is there, there will be such a long line that the last one will be in Medina. And the help of Allah came, the help of Allah came on following the Sunnah, not adhering to innovation. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to be firm on Sunnah. Avoid innovation, no matter how beautiful it looks, and no matter how pleasing it sounds to the heart and head. But there is no barakat in it. There is no barakat in it. If it was, there was barakat, Sahaba should have done it. Sahaba has understood the deed better than us. If we are doing an action which is not proven in the Sharia, then we are saying Sahaba never understood this deed. And we are saying that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never conveyed the complete deed to us. That is blasphemous in nature. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the deen, practice the deen. There will be a collection after Jummah Salat for Boxwood, the masjid that burnt down. There will be a collection for that. I think there will be a renovation taking place there. Don't waste your money and go see this cricket. Another thing that I better say is while it's on. Hundreds of rands, literally, the people are spending on tickets to go see Badmashas playing. The respected elders, take this money and give it to the masjid. Take this money and feed your family and keep them happy. Take this money and clothe your family. Take this money and feed your neighbor. Take this money and give it to Palestine. You will be accountable on the day of judgment. I swear by Allah that if you buy a ticket and go see this Badmashas playing, where your whole nation is starving. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the practice deed. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.